promise. Clap your hands, lift your voice, give him praise and magnify him. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, O God, of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Is there anybody in the house that's thankful unto him? Is anybody here can say God's been good to me? That he's a prayer answering God, that he's my provider, he's my way maker. Praise God. Is this your testimony or did you just hear it from somebody? Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord on a beautiful Sunday morning. I love the presence of God, the moving of his spirit. In this altar service, you don't know what kind of business was just conducted. We're doing the business of the kingdom on this earthly side of the veil, but you have no idea what's happening on the other side. There's healing flowing this house today. There's provision flowing. There's a miracle that's already loosed in the house today. Somebody say praise the Lord. I believe the word of God. Is there anybody here that believes his word? There are fewer and fewer people that have faith and confidence in the word of God. But I'm telling you, that's in North America. This thing's exploding all over the world. It's exploding in third world settings. And I'll just tell you, whatever the advanced cultures don't want, the third world cultures are hungry for. They are very excited about the things of God. And I'll just tell you, for us as the Church of the Living God, we need to keep a third world attitude about hunger and about thirst for the things of God and about our need of God. It doesn't matter how affluent you get or how great you are at your craft or your skill or how well you've succeeded in life. We need God. We need a lot of God, and we need God right now, and we need God in this place, and we need God right here. Praise God. So that's it. Well, so good to see you on a Sunday morning. Love to be in the house of the Lord. And really excited about what God is doing in Bible studies and in Margaret and in the Home Depot revival and just all kinds of nooks and crannies, all sorts of good things going on. And if you're not teaching a Bible study, you need to find one, and you need to beat the bushes and find your own. They're out there. There's a lot of hungry people, and you need to teach them what thus saith the word of God. Praise God. And if you're here and you've never had a home Bible study, come and see us right after service. We'll line you up. We'll get you hooked up, and it will revolutionize your life in the kingdom of God. It really will. We're going to read this morning from 2 Kings chapter 8. Starting in verse 7, and I really appreciate the good ministry that's already gone on. There are people working in Sunday school this morning, and somebody prepared breakfast for all of our ministry groups, and the praise team and the ministry team has worked so effectively and well, and we're just happy to see the kingdom of God going forth. Verse 7, and Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go and meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go, say to him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die. If you love his word today, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you, Lord God. We magnify you. God, we thank you for your word that is seed in our life and in our homes and in this church. God, we thank you for your word that never changes, that's always bringing to pass the will of God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, unerring. always sure and true. And we praise you for it. Praise God. And so this is an interesting continuation of the ministry of Elisha, and that's where we've been walking for a while. And it's very, very in this narrative, it's very, very clear. There's no obscurity here at all. The king of Syria is sick, and he wants to know, and he hears that Elisha is in the region, and so he sends a gift to him and inquires, "Will I recover from this disease?" And to the man, Hazael, Elisha said, "Go tell him, you will surely recover." And don't parse the terms. That's what he told him. It may collide with your sensibilities. And it may be that this is a little challenging for you. But you need to relax in the hand of the Word of God. You may certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die. Now, Ben-Hadad is the king of a pagan nation, and they worship all sorts of things that are not like God, and they are not in covenant with God. The Jews have the covenant from Abraham on down, and the covenant has very distinct stipulations. And you are in the covenant or out of the covenant. You are the covenant people or you are outside of the covenant. And the promises and the blessings and the assuredness of God go with the covenant. Just like your insurance covers you, but it doesn't cover your uninsured neighbor. Your insurance covers you, but you can call them all day long if you're in breach of that contract and they're not going to take care of you. And this is very, very plain to us. And so picking back up on the narrative, and Elisha said to him, "Go and say to him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die." So he's sending a lie in the hand of Hazael. And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. After he gave him this word, he locked eyes with Hazael. And he just stared at him. And he stared at him. And then big old tears began to run down Elisha's face. And Hazael said, "Why weepest thou, my lord?" And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds will you set on fire. Their young men will thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up the women with child." And Hazael said, "But what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord has showed me that you will be king over Syria." And so he departed from Elisha and came to his master, Ben-Hadad, who said to him, "What said Elisha to thee?" And he answered, "He told me that thou shouldest surely recover." And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, spread it on Ben-Hadad's face, so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. You've heard of self-fulfilling prophecies. Well, this is very, very near to that. So the Syrians are living outside the biblical context. And they are worshiping all sorts of things that are not the God of Israel. They're living a life that is contradictory to the wishes and the will and the desires of God. And yet Ben-Hadad sins and thinks he can buy a word from God. He thinks that he can position himself to get favor and to get a prognosis from the prophet of God. An assurance of some sort, a blessing perhaps, a promise. But when you've chosen to live in lies, and when you've chosen to build your house upon lies, and when you've chosen to interact with God or gods in the framework of a lie, God will lie to you. Now that's shocking, perhaps a little destabilizing for some folks, but God by Elisha sends a lie in the hand of Hazael. And this is a proposition that requires a little care. You have to walk carefully when you're handling this. But many people would seek to impose their own personal, moral, ethical standards on God. And they would like to impose their own doctrinal or spiritual or lifestyle framework on God and project on God what they are rather than to embrace the biblical. And if God crosses your desire, perhaps you'll find fault with him. And I'll dare tell you right now, there's some people that'll draw a line and just tell you, my God doesn't lie. And we'll go to the scripture on it. And they'll tell you exactly what their God is. But what they won't tell you is that I have shaped God after my image rather than allowing God to shape me after his image. And so even in Christian America, you get all sorts of variations on God. Who he is and what he is and what he does and what he won't do and what he'll allow. And people love their little special areas of sin. And God doesn't care about that. And people love their little special areas of interest. And God's going to allow me to do that. But I'll tell you something. You need to get yourself in the harness and in the straight and narrow. Because if you go into a dark place that is framed up by lies and is not true according to the word of God, God will lie to you. Well, and so they're going to maybe tell me that, well, if God lies, then I don't have to serve God. Or if God lies, he's not real. And then they'll say, my God would, and they'll frame their own God. Right. And in doing so, reject the biblical God and create a God in their own image. But when you leave the biblical God, you're left with your own creation. Right. Or someone else's creation. But it's not the presentation of God. Right. When you choose to live in lies, you're outside the biblical promise. You're outside the realm of the veracity of the word of God. And then the only access back to the things of God is repentance. And repentance means to turn. Repentance means it's not sorrow that you feel or weeping in an altar or a confession that you make. It may involve all those things, but repentance is turning away from what you are and what you do to what God has prescribed for you. So here's the source of like a biblical consensus about God and truth or God and lies. Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie. Well, there it is right there. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Well, that sounds pretty ironclad. Bible study 101, read in context and read in synthesis. Because the context is the framing. You can't understand it without it. If you tear scripture out of the word of God and paste it on your bedroom wall, it may or may not be applicable to you. You have to read it in context and in synthesis. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? And the answer to those questions are, hath he said it and shall he not do it? And I would say, amen. And hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? And I would say, amen. Titus 1, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promise before the world began. And Hebrews 6, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And so our text seems to indicate that God utilized a lie. The biblical corpus seems to indicate that it's impossible for God to lie. I'm going to suggest to you that it has a lot to do, everything to do, with context. Right. Genesis 6, although we just read a scripture that said God will not repent, Genesis 6 reads like this: "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. For it repenteth me that I have made them," twice in verse 6 and 7. And so God apparently can repent. So you have to examine the context and you have to examine the conditions of that repentance. There seems to be like a dynamic working here concerning what we're reading and the conceptual contract of God with mankind. It's a contractual dynamic. Within the contract of God, God will do these things. Just like your insurance contract. Within the contract of God, these things are true. Within the contract of God, these things are immovable. Within the contract of God, God will not lie. Within the contract of God, God cannot lie. And so the only safe place for you in this conversation is to be right up in the middle of the contract of God, or the biblical phrase, the covenant of God, or the pact of God, the design of the dispensation that you're living in. God has stipulations that he will abide by, and heaven and earth can pass away, but his end of the contract will not pass away. But the other side of that is simply outside the contract. Outside the contract, you are not the beneficiary. You are not the recipient. You cannot be guaranteed that God will perform what he has said for you because you're outside the contract. Now, this is something modern Christianity has left long ago behind. But if you're wanting to do business with God, the God of Israel, the God of the creation, the God of the Word of God, you're going to have to do business with God within contract. You can make up your own God, but you're out there on your own. You can make God in your own image, but you're out there on your own. And you can require of God to give you an answer about things, but God is not required to do business with you based on the contract when you're outside of the contract. Somebody say praise the Lord. Is that pretty good legal explanation, counselor? Okay. So, now God is true. God is the truth. God's the basis for all truth. God is faithful. God's the beginning of faithfulness. And God's the foundation for all faith. And everything he has said, he is true and faithful within the confines of a covenant. Okay, so here's an example. John 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so God promises life. So people come, and in a very shallow and a very cheap brand of Christianity, they say that that's available to everybody anywhere under any condition. But it is not. It is only available within the confines of the covenant. I heard a really, really popular televangelist say that you don't have to pray to be blessed. You blessed already. He just said that in a wholesale fashion. He said it to everybody that was living every lifestyle, that was making every kind of choice, that was disregarding the word of God. He's just in a blanket way telling everybody everywhere and under any condition that they are blessed. The blessing of God is not associated with you because you're breathing. The blessing of God will be associated with you when you're obedient to the framework of God. Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, anybody can come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so anybody can come, but unspoken here, you have to come on God's terms. You can't come on your, he is not Buddha. He is not the Allah of Muhammad. He is not some God made by some cult or sect somewhere else in the world. You can't come to him on those terms. You've got to come to him on his terms. He is the I am that I am of Moses. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is the God of Noah. He is the God that made Adam and Eve and breathed into them and brought. He is the God of the Word of God. Somebody say amen. You can't come to him on your own terms. If you build yourself a stump out of wood and fall down to it and say, deliver me, for thou art my God. And that is expressly spoken to us out of the book of Isaiah, that people do that. Don't expect God to answer you when you're praying to the stump of a tree. The promises of the Old and the New Testament are covenant specific. They are related to the covenant of God. And so, here's the blessings of God. Now, this chapter is abused and bastardized and misused all over modern Christianity. You're not the tail, you're the head. You're not going to be the borrower, you're going to be the lender. But there's an asterisk by every one of those. And here's the asterisk. It'll come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. Everybody say, listen diligently. Unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do. Say, to observe and to do all his commandments. All his commandments. No, most of his commandments. Half of his commandments. A few of his commandments. No, it says all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, then the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Then the Lord thy God will say, all those blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your cows and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall thy basket be and thy store. But this is within the confines of obedience to the word of God. There's a blessing in the covenant. There's a blessing in the covenant. But the blessing doesn't reside outside the covenant. Blessed shalt thou be when thou come in, and when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you seven ways. I know you got problems. I know you got enemies. I know you're praying for relief, but I'm telling you, contractually, God is not obliged to move on your behalf when you're living and acting and dwelling outside the covenant of God. Now there's mercy, and there's goodness, and there's a door, and you can get in, but don't expect to use the promise of God as per the word of God outside of the covenant. Amen. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and set his hand, everything you set your hand to, and he'll bless you in the land which the Lord God has giveth thee. And the land is not even yours if you're not in covenant. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people to himself. Holy is a description of life and lifestyle. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, if you obey his word, and they shall be afraid of you if you obey his word, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods if you obey his words, and in the fruit of your body if you obey his word, and in the fruit of your cow, and in the fruit of the ground, and the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers to give thee. You get the picture. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. And these promises go on and on. They're going to overtake you. But this is written to a covenant people, and very forthrightly in the contract, if you abide by the stipulations of the contract. Praise God. Somebody say amen. Amen. The bottom line is the sovereignty of God. I know the word of God can rub you the wrong way. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, when the word of God rubs you the wrong way, don't turn the word of God around. You turn around. That's right. If you turn around, it'll rub you the right way. Praise God. The word of God will be a vexation and an irritation to you every day of your life. If you're braced against it and you're resistant to it, you can't do this until you're surrendered and relaxed. You got to come to an altar and lay everything down on an altar and be prepared to live for God. There is such a thing as the sovereignty of God. Now, God has given you free moral agency, and you can do whatever you want. You can say, choke you, God. You can do anything you want. You can walk away. You can live any life you want to in the time frame of this earth passage. After that, free moral agency doesn't mean a thing because God is sovereign, and you're going to stand before him, and you got to deal with him. Better to deal with him now. Scripture says some men's sins go before them to God. Some men's sins follow after. So you want your sins taken care of before you get there. Here's from Paul in Romans chapter 9. For the children, yet not being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Turn the whole world upside down there. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau, have I hated? Wait a minute. God can't hate anybody. Well, read the book. You can get so close to things that God hates that it starts getting over on you. You can be so dismissive of the things of God. I'm just reading to you from the word. But God has to love me. Why? Because your mama loves you? Because you're breathing? No, but it was told me. Yeah, a lot of things have been told you. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But the scriptures say, that's why when you've done everything you can do and you've been as good as you can be and you've abided by all the stipulations, you still stand with David and you say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. But the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, I have raised thee up that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout the earth. He said, I raised you up, Pharaoh. You're going to be my straw man because I'm going to destroy Egypt and you're going to preside over that destruction. And therefore, hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy, on whom he will, he hardeneth. And what Paul's referring to there is the Bible says multiple times, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart. When the plague might have pushed Pharaoh to the place where he said, Moses, Aaron, go, take the people and go. God hardened his heart for another round of plagues, another round of plagues, another round. He had a purpose in mind. He was working an advertising campaign. Before that 10 plague season was over, the people of Egypt was saying, get them out of here. Before it was over, the word had spread all the way to Canaan land, and it would be 40 years before they walk into Jericho. But the first person they meet and the first thing they hear from Rahab the harlot is, I know who you are. It's been 40 years, but I know who you are. You are the people of the God that destroyed Egypt. God ran an advertising campaign and he used Pharaoh for his purposes. Don't you get bowed up and say, well, that's not fair, because it's not about you. It was about Pharaoh, and Pharaoh made his choices. When they first walked in the door, Pharaoh said, who is God? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? And then it was on. Oh, I see. You want to play a game where God is constrained by values and you're not. You want this game to be all one-sided. You really do want God to be Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, but he's just old fat jolly man and brings you good stuff anyway, and that's how you That's how you've tapered God down to fit your desires. And there is a God that has been crafted by godless theology in America. And there is a God that's been crafted by spineless people that won't stand in a pulpit and preach the word of God because they're afraid people will leave the house and they won't have their cush and they won't have their place anymore. But I'm telling you, what our day needs is a revival of the word of God. And a revival of what thus saith the word of God. It matters how you live. It matters how you treat people. It matters if you walk according to the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. When you walk outside the covenant and you seek to defy God, God will send you a false prophet. God will send you a lying spirit. God will send you a powerful delusion. He'll send you signs and wonders. Deuteronomy 13, if there arise a prophet or a dreamer of dreams among you and give you a sign or a wonder, he's doing stuff. It's supernatural. It's working. And the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake to thee, saying, let us go after other gods. He did some trickery. He did some magic. And now he's saying, see, I've got this. So come follow me. We're going to go worship other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Will God send you a false prophet? Yes, he will. It is inevitable because you won't know and God won't know until you pass the test. False prophets work for God. They come with lies in their hand. And then they say, let's worship other gods. Friend of mine, you better fall in love with the word of God. You better rightly divide the word of God. You need to have a romance with the word of God. You need to subject yourself to the word of God. You need to build your life, your home, on the word of God. So that you can hold up the word of God and shine the light of the word of God on every false prophet and on every lie. And when the lie comes to you, when you're on God's side, you don't have to worry because you shine the light of the word of God on it and say, no, that's not the real thing. That's not God. That's not the word of God. So they come to everybody, but God wants to know. 2 Chronicles 18, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, the divided kingdom. Ahab wants to go to battle, wants Jehoshaphat to help him. But Jehoshaphat wants to hear from God. And so Ahab trots out 450 false prophets, and they all prophesy. And they all say the same thing. And then Jehoshaphat says, is there not a prophet of God that we can hear? Because when you know, you know. When you know the word of God and you know the God of the word, nobody can schnooker you. He said, is there not a prophet? And Ahab said, yeah, there's one, there's one. And he said, well, where is he? Well, he's in jail. Because he always says bad things about me. And Jehoshaphat said, well, go get him because I'm not going unless you go get him. And so they go and they get him. And the head of the false prophets union says, now listen, we've all said the same thing. Don't mess this up. And so he says, just get me out of here. Yeah, I'll say whatever you want me to say. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. So he's going to say what God said, right? And when he was come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And Micaiah said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. He stood flat-footed in the middle of the will of God and lied to this man. Because you know what's going to happen here? Ahab's going to die. It's been prophesied. It's already on him. He's going off into a chariot. He's going to disguise himself as a regular soldier. But that arrow that is fired by chance finds him and breaks through the seam of his armor and buries itself in his chest, and he bleeds to death in his chariot because he killed faithful Naboth to get his vineyard. And the prophecy went forth, and there's no place on earth that guy could have hidden. And he's outside the covenant, and he's outside the will of God, and he's asking God for an answer. And God said, go. Go. I got a little something waiting for you down there. Go. It's going to be all right. Yeah, yeah, Ahab, go. You're going to do great, Ahab. It's just like the guy with the horns and the hat ran around and said, it's going to be just like that. Go. And God's lying straight up to him. The God that cannot lie within the context of covenant will lie to you. You keep asking God to allow you to be or do something that you know is wrong, but you want to release from the conviction, and you want to release from the sense of condemnation. You want the liberty, you, because you really love this thing that you're doing, and you really love this place that you live in, and you really want to do it. If you could just get God to say yes, you're like Lot, that God is leading him out by angelic hands out of Sodom and Gomorrah, out of the destruction. All the cities of the plain are to be destroyed, and he's afraid of going all the way with God. So he says, I can't go to the mountain with you. Look, here's a little town. Isn't it a little town? He's begging. He's pitiful. Isn't it a little town? And God said, all right, I'll do it. He didn't say, you're not going to be happy. He just said, okay, I'll do this. Listen to me. Oh, listen to me. You do not want to convince God to do something that creates a scenario where you fall short of the deliverance of God, or you stop short of the plan of God for your life because you're all emotionally involved, or you're tired, or whatever your motivation is. You really want to say, God, how far, how high, where do you want me to go, and when do you want me to go there? I want to go right now, because you want to be right in the middle of the will of God. So he said, king, go up, prosper. They'll be delivered to your hand. And the king said to him, because he knew, Ahab knew, if this guy's telling me something good, it can't be right. The king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? And so then he pulls the hammer and he tells the truth. Then he said, I did see Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Because he's going to die. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. Now therefore the Lord hath put a lying spirit. That's all the way down to 22. In the mouth of these thy prophets, the Lord put a lying spirit in the mouth. You want to hear something? You got itching ears. You want to gather teachers to you because you want them to scratch you just right and tell you just right. You're like an old dog that likes to be scratched on his ear. And that's how people are going to church today. They don't want to hear anything that crosses them or challenges them or offends them. I want to tell you, none of that's going to do you any good when the trumpet sounds or when the death angel comes. You want to hear what thus saith the word of God. Paul told Timothy, the day's coming, they won't endure sound doctrine, but they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear, but you don't want that. You want to lay your pride down. You want to lay your desire down. You want to lay your life down. God does good work. You'll like the results. You give yourself to God. God will do a better job with you than you're doing with yourself. Don't be afraid of giving yourself to God. Don't try to save yourself. He said, if you try to save yourself, you'll lose yourself. But you give yourself to God. Praise God. God sent a lying spirit to Ahab. Balaam, we're back in Sunday school with all of this. Balaam, Numbers 22. And Balaam is in one of these little niche areas where they still know God and they're still walking with God. And Balaam is that guy. He's a prophet. He's a real prophet. He talks to God and God talks to him. So Balak, king of Moab, comes and says, Balaam, man, we need help. There's a bunch of people that just came out of Egypt. They're spilling over the land like a cloud. They're covering everything. And we can't stand against them. I need you to come curse them. And God came to Balaam and said, what men are these that are with you? And Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, and maybe I'll be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. This is Israel he's talking about. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, get you into your land. The Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And that should have been the end of the story. But they came back, and they came back with lots of money and promises of fame and glory. That should have been the end, but Balaam wanted the stuff. So he goes back to God and says, hey, God, I know what you said, and I know how you feel, but boy, what do you think today? I know how that was yesterday, but what are you feeling about this today? And God said, go. And Balaam should have heard that thunderous drop behind that word, go. But he didn't hear it. So he's like, all right, God's going to let me now. That's what happens when you get involved in stuff and you want God to be on your side rather than you being on God's side. He gets on his ass and he rides toward Balak, and they come to a narrow channel of pathway on a mountainside, and the donkey just stops. He stops because he sees the angel in the way with the sword. And Balaam's so carnal, he doesn't see it. And he starts beating the donkey. And God, by mercy, sends the word to Balaam from the ass's mouth. The donkey speaks and says, why are you beating me? I've been real faithful to you all this time. Why are you? And Balaam is so, he is so pervertedly spiritual, it doesn't strike him strange that the donkey's talking. He said, if I had a sword, I would have killed you. He's arguing with the donkey. There's two asses on that. And that's what the devil will make out of you. And that's what rebellion will make out of you. The donkey's supposed to be a donkey. You're not. The donkey's got more sense than the prophet. And then God begins to talk to him. But if you don't think that God will put an angel with a sword in his hand out in the front of your trajectory into foolishness, he will. He will. And God will tell you, okay, go. You want to hear from God, and you want God to have his way in your life. In the end time, 2 Thessalonians 2, Sam, won't you come on, Lindsay? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Who's going to send them strong delusion? That they should believe a lie. Who's going to cause them to believe a lie? That they might all be damned. Who's going to cause them all to be damned? Who believed not the truth, who did not want to live within the contract or in the confines of the word of God, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God will send a lie. God will send a false prophet. God will send a delusion. It doesn't affect you if you love truth, if you're walking in truth. You're bulletproof to all of this stuff. If you've gotten yourself in the contract of God and you are ferociously devoted to God and that's all you want in your life, praise God. I want you to know that Benadad, you're not going to live. You're not doing anything that God has commanded. And now you want an assurance from God. And a promise from God. Okay, Balaam, go ahead and meet with these men. I told you not to meet with them. You go on, and I'll be along in a minute. God's word has already told you no, but you keep going to God for another answer. There's an angel with a sword waiting. Sure, Ahab. Ahab, you go on up to Ramoth Gilead. You're in total rebellion. But you think you can get a sure word from God. You think you're in total rebellion and you think God owes you the truth. Because you've made God in your own image. All right, Pharaoh. Even though you see the whole world around you, Egypt is collapsing. It's falling apart. You keep holding on to your pride. You reject the commandment to come out of Egypt. I'm telling you, you'll lose your whole world. God is the safe place today. God is the only safe place today. And to a modern day Christian, I would say, you're living a lifestyle that and a standard that's opposed to the biblical presentation. But some modern prophet has told you that it's okay. Don't worry about all that. All that was just for back then. That's not necessary today. It's just what you believe in your heart. And he didn't pull back the curtain and show you the white throne judgment where every man was judged by the book according to his works. You're going to be judged by what you do, not by how you feel about it. By what you do, not by what you believe. So go on there and you just believe that was just for back then. But the word of God says, if you endure chastening, if God has to correct you, God deals with you as sons. He wants you in his family, but he's not going to have a bunch of renegades in his house. For what God, or for what son is he to whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. If you can't let God line you up, you can't be a son of God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If you don't know what holiness is, you better find out. You better find out what the contract says. You need to get yourself into the Word of God and find out what the contractual stipulations are for 2022 for you. Because it's the same for everybody. It doesn't matter where you're from, what your background is, what your name is, what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated. The Word of God is the same for everybody. Everybody lives the same standard. Everybody gets the same promise. They've told you you can live any way you want. They've told you you can pull up the easy chair and sit in front of a movie or sit in front of a television with all sorts of abominations on it. But the Word of God said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. You think God is sitting there with you watching that junk? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's male prostitutes, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It means God has a standard. There is a threshold of lifestyle that if you're living beneath it, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. There's only one way. You gotta repent of your sins. You gotta find God in an altar. You gotta collapse into the grace and mercy of God and let the Word of God tell you how to live on Monday and how to dress on Tuesday and how to handle your money on Wednesday. Let God tell you. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You got to leave some relationships behind. But what fella, I'm trying to live for God, but my honey, he's just so, he doesn't want to. I just can't get away. You better break away from honey. You better leave honey in the rear view mirror. You better know that you can't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None. And what communion has light with darkness? None. And what concord has Christ with Belial? You can't mix all this. You can't be living and talking and acting and loving like the world around you and think you're going to be walking with God. God's not going to walk in that soup with you. Wherefore, come out from among them. This is Paul. This is New Testament. This is today. And be separate, saith the Lord. You may not understand what that means, but it's a journey. It starts like any journey, one step. Make your way. Turn your back on this world and make a step. Come and live for God. Be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing. I mean squeaky clean. Don't do anything that you know God is not happy with. And I'll receive you. And I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. Go on, modern Christian. Do it the way some modern prophet told you. And set the word of God aside. Let them baptize you in the titles, the Catholic Trinitarian titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Even though you can't find that in the word of God, and everybody there was baptized in the name of Jesus. And I could read to you from Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19. And I could read to you from Paul, who says, everything you do in word or deed, do all of it in the name of Jesus. Pray for your food in the name of Jesus. Pray for your babies in the name of Jesus. And when you baptize somebody, do it in the name of the one that died on the cross for your sins, because He is the Father, He is the Son, He is the Holy Ghost, He is the Redeemer, He is the Lamb of God. But if you got to go your own way, I understand. Go your own way. Go without the word of God. But you're going off into a place. I'll just tell you, there's going to be a day where you're going to want an answer from God. There'll be a day, as sure as you're in this house today, there'll be a day when desperation clutches you and you want an answer from God. And you're not going to be able to depend on God giving you truth, because you've separated yourself from the contract and from the word of God. The only place you have any real expectation that God will deal with you truly starts in this altar, starts with the word of God, starts with one step, starts with repentance, starts with submission. If any man would be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow after me. If any man would be my disciple, he's got to hate his mama and his daddy and his brother and his sister and yea, even his own. What does that mean? That means you got to turn away from every dissenting voice and be ready to do business with God. Is there anybody in the house today that would just like to say, whatever God tells me, that's what I want to do? I don't know. I'm in confusion. I don't know if I'm really living for God. I lay awake at night and I wonder if it's all well with my soul. But you don't need to wonder anymore. You can go to chapter and verse. Today, you need to repent of your sins. Today, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Today, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you'll speak in tongues just like they did in the Bible. Church all over the house, I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to begin to pray. Somebody begin to call on God. Somebody begin to travail. Somebody begin to talk in tongues. But come on, this altar's open. Come on, somebody needs to come today. Somebody needs to say, God, I'm ready to do business on your terms. I'm ready to do business according to your contract. God, I don't even know what the contract is, but I want you to tell me today. And I want it to be straight. And I want to be submissive. And I want to live for you with all of my heart. Pray, church. Pray, church. Come on. Somebody's hanging in the balance right now. God, don't afraid of it. You know what it's about. Come on down to this altar. Get as close as you can. Come on, somebody lay hands on all of these that are down on this altar. Somebody come and pray with all of these. Somebody that believes God.
Everything I give.
Somebody talk in tongues with authority. Somebody call down some glory. Hallelujah. Somebody that's in contract, call on God, He'll answer. Somebody that's in contract, seek the face of God. God will move on this house today. The contract. It just says everything I am, everything I have, all that I'll ever be, it belongs to God. Church, press in just a little more.
Everything I give,
everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing.
Give you all of me, oh Lord.
Withholding nothing.
I'm not holding anything back.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
somebody by you.